Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about, man, the rally. There's a rally that occurred in Washington, D.C. for Israel. And that's so encouraging because, you know, although Israel right now is not so much in the news, I mean, Operation Protective Edge is over for now. Mm-hmm. I'm very encouraged to see that many people are still standing with Israel, and the rallies and the support for Israel has not stopped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, typically, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And I know that this is not the case with many of the Christians and American Jews that live here in America. Their heart for the Jewish people is just so beautiful, those that live in Israel. And we can't remain silent. We cannot close our eyes to what's happening there. I mean, think about it. Sometimes it's troubling to carry on your heart, really, all the sufferings that are happening around the world. And who wants to go around thinking about, you know, the plight of the Jews in Israel and the horrific things that were done to them and 10,000 rockets? I mean, you know, God can grace us with a compassion, a grace to bear, but we cannot grow weary in well-doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we faint not, we're going to reap a harvest. We're going to reap, and we want to see is a reaping of souls.
Right.
But I'm encouraged by the rally that has taken place. We're going to hear from Penny Nance with CWA organizations, the Christian Women's Organization Association, that is doing some phenomenal work. And they had a rally in Washington, D.C. To stand for Israel. And we want to encourage you that whenever there is a rally in your city, in your area, come out to support Israel.
Yeah.
Be one that stands up for Israel. If you haven't become a member yet, maybe you may want to join Christians United for Israel. That's an organization that stands with Israel. And of course, stand with VFN-TV. I mean, we have covered every bit of the Operation Protective Edge. And from day one, you know, three pillars of our program is for God, for country, and for Israel. And support VFN-TV as we're standing for Israel. But I want you to watch what occurred at the CWA rally there in Washington, D.C., and those who spoke at it. Former Governor Mike Huckabee was there, Eric Stackelbeck there with CBN, and they had all interesting things to share. Watch this.
Targets. Hundreds of people met in Jerusalem Sunday, joined by millions around the world, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The 13th annual Day of Prayer brought both Jews and Christians together to pray in what has grown into a worldwide event. God TV broadcasts the prayer meeting internationally.
We're here today because Jerusalem is really a city like no other. And people often don't understand that what happens in and around this city impacts the nations of the world. Everyone who is concerned with the future of our planet needs to be concerned with what happens in Jerusalem and with praying for the peace of Jerusalem, which is the key to peace for all the nations.
Thousands of churches around the world also took part in the prayer meeting. It encourages people to follow the command in Psalm 122, verse 6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they that love you prosper. And here in the U.S., former presidential candidate Governor Mike Huckabee and Concerned Women for America joined forces to sponsor the Stand with Israel rally on Capitol Hill. Paul Strand brings us the story.
The president of Concerned Women for America explained this rally was birthed when she was in Israel and realized why it's important to support Israel today as it faces enemies who want to wipe it out. She asked herself then if she would have supported Jews during World War II when they also faced the threat of extinction.
If I had been alive during the Holocaust, what would I have done? Would I have been one of those people, one of those Christians, who just turned away and turned a blind eye to the evil that was right before me?
Showing support for Israel isn't just taking an altruistic stand, because those here were quick to point out that the enemies who would destroy Israel first are completely ready and dedicated to turning around and destroying America next.
Former Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee said he believes God will save Israel from destruction. But ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran still want to destroy it. And he warns they wouldn't stop there.
You honestly think that if they were to achieve that they would say, well, that's it, we're done. Israel isn't the ultimate target, we are.
CBN's terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck agreed, pointing out that Iran will have intercontinental ballistic missiles by 2015, and it could use those missiles to target America.
Israel is the little Satan, a bump on the road to the great Satan. Us, their words, not mine.
Concerned Women for America wanted to show there are also many young concerned women for Israel. Among them, Raquel Minka, a young Baltimore Jew, who when she heard there'd be an anti-Israel protest in her neighborhood, threw together a counter-rally with hundreds more participants. To her, this is personal.
My grandparents are Holocaust survivors. They fought the fight. My dad is a wounded IDF veteran. He fought the fight. And now I'm doing the same.
Leading conservative writer Bill Kristol says America has to take a stand in the Middle East and fight.
We know what a world without an Israel and with an America that's weak and withdrawn looks like. And that's the world of 1939 or so, 75 years ago. And that's a world that leads to a world war, and that's a world that leads to a Holocaust.
Paul Strand, CBN News, Capitol Hill.
Wow, absolutely encouraging. You know, just a few days ago, Christians all over the world rallied to pray and stand in solidarity for the peace of Jerusalem. And we want to encourage you that whenever you can, as the Lord brings to your mind, maybe you want to write a prayer target or have a specific day that you dedicate in all your prayers to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to pray for Israel. I mean, we're right in the middle of the four blood moons, and we know that during the four blood moons that it starts with tragedy and then it ends with joy. And so we want to, you know, make sure that, that we're doing our part. There's nothing like falling asleep during a time like that.
Yeah, and don't wait for, you know, if you there, you have not seen a rally for Israel, start one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Try to reach out to the leaders and bring a support for Jerusalem to your city.
Absolutely. Well, we stand for Israel. We stand for the apple of God's eye. And we're going to, we say, hey, listen, do it. Do it today. Be a part of serving God, not just, you know, serving God in your community, but also, you know, as a way of reaching out to, you know, Jews. Stand for them, you know, because it's them first and then us. Mm-hmm. And JJ, remember, we're seeking the heat turned up, if you will. Well, we're going to continue to be talking today, and we've done this on a previous program, about the gift of God, salvation. And as I was, you know, reading in Ephesians, you know, you get a clearer picture sometimes of really what happened here. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says that we were, at one point in Ephesians 2, objects of God's wrath. I mean, we were enemies of God, enemies of Him, and because He loved us so much, because of His great love for us, Ephesians 2:4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. And it is by grace that you have been saved. And think about that. It's by grace that you've been saved. There's nothing, not one thing, that we could add or do to earn our salvation. And although salvation is given and is available to everyone as a free gift, it is only received by those that are humble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the humble that receive it. It's available to everyone. And I started thinking about that. I mean, in order for someone to receive salvation, they have to go through a process, really, of coming to the end of themselves where they realize that, I'm a sinner, right? I've sinned. You have to come to an acknowledgement. Two, that they are lost, and in their present state, they're destined for hell, right? And that their current life that is away from Jesus, actually right now, offends him and hurts him. I mean, think of the processes. I mean, these may happen really quick, and they may happen at one moment, but these are the things that eventually someone who doesn't know God has to come to grips with. I am a sinner. I am lost and destined to hell without God, without Jesus. That my current life away from God right now actually offends and hurts him. And they have to come to the place where they admit that what they're doing right now, and their false righteousness is actually wrong. Think about that. You got to come to grips with that. And I think about the Church of Revelation where, you know, they have a perception in their mind that they're rich, but they find out that they're blind, you know, poor, pitiful, and naked. You know, they think that they have need of nothing, and God says, you're blind. You're blind. And that's the thing. I mean, oftentimes I think that what hinders people from coming to the saving knowledge of God, one of the greatest things, is the great deception of pride. Pride causes people to be blind where they can't see their true state of where they're at. And the devil's a master deceiver. And he gets people, you know, caught up in this whole pride thing. And they never see their true spiritual condition. Mm-hmm. They either don't believe that they're a sinner. They don't think they need a savior. I remember Leonard Ravenhill was asked, what is the greatest sin? And somebody thought, probably someone would think murder or adultery. And Leonard Ravenhill said that the greatest sin is when a person tries to attempt to live their life apart from God. That's the greatest sin, to attempt to live your life apart from God. And I believe that's why many people that actually find God, they often find God after they've been humbled through some trials in their lives. They've encountered a humbling, if you will. And oftentimes you've heard people say maybe when that person, you know, enters a trial, or maybe when that person enters a hardship, that because of that hardship and because of that difficulty and because of that suffering, that at that point they will look up. And I oftentimes I would think, yeah, maybe that's just probably right, you know. But then I had another idea that I've known people that have gone through trials, troubles, hardships, difficulties, devastation, and in the midst of that devastation, they didn't look for God. And so I was reminded that in the midst of a trial and a tribulation and a hardship and a setback, doesn't necessarily guarantee that someone turns to God, but if that process brings humility in their life, it's the humility that brings them to God. Not necessarily the trial, it's if the trial produces humility. It cracks away at the pride of the self-reliance of taking, you know, a high estimation of oneself. Because here's the whole thing. God gives grace to the humble. God gives unmerited favor, right, to the humble. And salvation is that favor. Salvation is that gift. But you can't receive salvation from a blind, prideful state. You know what I mean? You're just not going to get it. And in fact, 2 Corinthians, I believe, says that 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world, the little g God of this world, has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever that they may not see the glorious hope of Jesus Christ. It's blinded their eyes. They can't see. They're blind. And so what we would need to be able to do is help people come to a place where they can walk, pray for them, that they become humble in God, that pride gets chipped away at their life, that there's a crack there. Because all you need is a small amount of light. You're living in darkness. When there's just a small amount of light, it pierces through the darkness, and they have an opportunity. The conditions of their heart are in a place where they can begin to receive God. Because I've have found out that when people get to that place of humility, it's like, okay, this is that. Their heart is soft enough to be able to receive the planted and the preached word of God into their life, and the condition of their heart is ready now to be able to see that life-changing word. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about how salvation is available to everyone, but it's only the humble that receive this amazing gift.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation live.